Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays are being brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM, and joining with me, I have Craig Butler, the Executive Director, and Adria Bergeron, the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. Thank you guys so much for coming in and joining with me. Craig, I appreciate your taking the time as executive director to make your way to Holmes County. And like we said in the introduction, you're the executive director of the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. Let's start out with, what does the Conservancy District, in a quick nutshell, how would you explain it to folks on what you guys do?
Melissa, thanks for having us. The Conservancy was created, we're 93 years old, and it was really created as a result of the 1913 flooding that was devastating to a lot of Ohio. It was and still is the largest loss of life as well as property damage in the state of Ohio. And thought leaders at the time and the governors wanted to come up with a way to manage flooding that would allow economic development to continue without having to rebuild every so often, every few years. They created this thing called a conservancy district. There is nothing else like us anywhere else in the country. We are a political subdivision, i.e. like a municipal government. We're a corporation. We primarily focus on flood mitigation, but we also work on and focus on recreation at a lot of our reservoirs and lakes and conservation.
And we'll deep dive more as we continue through the show, but as the executive director, how long have you been in that position?
I started right as COVID hit, just in 2020, May 1st of 2020, when the state had shut down everything. I had listed my house for sale the day the governor closed the state, and I was living near Columbus at the time. So we had a few interesting months about how do we, you know, in a recreation business where we have 5 million visitors and we can't let any of them in, how do we get ready for the day when we can? And as soon as they opened the doors, we opened our doors.
And that had to make it really interesting learning the job because everything was different then. And so it's like, okay, this is how you normally do it, mm-hmm. but this is how we're doing it now.
Yeah, my first day, it was, we're closing everything. And so you have that palpable panic attack. Like, how do we get this done? I didn't even know where the bathrooms were, let alone the staff, the senior staff, the board of directors, our conservancy court, all of those layers. But we figured it out. Yeah, we were ready. As soon as the state said you can have allow people back out for recreation and to be able to breathe and get some sunshine, we opened the doors and people just were standing there waiting to come in.
That was probably like when you started breathing again.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just let that whoo.
Like that, I don't know, June 2020. I think that was probably close to then.
And so how did you get to take on the executive director position? What brought you there?
Well, our organization is 93 years old. We've had 4 directors, including me. So they tend to have stayed. The last one was John Hoopengardner. John was a good friend and retired. I also retired from state service. I was EPA director and spent my career working in environmental issues in state government, and was the time Governor Kasich left office, I was able to retire. So I retired for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, and then started at the director of the conservancy.
What about it made you ready to jump out of retirement? Were those 2 days just so boring? I'm not ready for this.
I'm a type A personality. I have to have something to do. No, I knew of the conservancy and their mission, and I have always loved public service, and this was just a great fit. And so I was excited to come and join the organization.
Now, how long had you been in charge of the EPA?
I was EPA director for 5 years. I was Governor Kasich's policy director for 3 years. And then before that, I worked 20 plus years at EPA in various jobs around the state.
So you're very well versed in keeping nature working well mm-hmm. and clean and all of that.
Yeah, I went to school for it. So there aren't many people that actually work in their profession. But I was fortunate enough to find this job. I literally thought I'd do it for 6 months. I started as a college intern at EPA and thought I would go make my fortune somewhere in the world, and never found something that I enjoyed more or gave me more satisfaction than working in public service.
Well, that's a good thing. You've got to enjoy what you do when you work in public service, or you're miserable.
I know a lot of people that are. I am, and I never was. I think out of my 35 years, probably 33 of them were very, very good.
Well, you always have a couple rough years. Yeah. Part of it was those 2 days you were retired.
That's right.
And So you mentioned that most of the directors have been there for a long time. Is that your plan to retire a second time from here then? Or you just kind of fill in the gap?
I'll be here a while. I'm not going to stay 30 years like the rest of them did. I don't think that that's going to be possible. But what I think it talks about is, you know, the quality of the organization, where people want to stay and, you know, be leaders in the organization that long. Gives us a lot of stability. You know, it gives us a lot of opportunities to do some really, really fun stuff.
And gives you a chance to really know your job.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So you're there like a year or two. You may miss out on something that you could do. And you guys, with as many different locations as you have resorts and things, there's plenty of opportunity to try new things and see what works. And
that's our most interesting thing is our variety, you know, from managing our forests to managing the lakes, to having recreation program, conservation, oil and gas development program, you name it, we probably do it. And so sometimes it seems a little overwhelming, and other times that you pinch yourself a bit and say, I really get to do this.
And I think this is one of those organizations that people hear the name thrown out, you know, Muskingum Watershed or what have you, but they really don't understand what it is that the watershed does.
We've got our primary mission, and always has been, flood mitigation. And so it's not flood control or prevention of flooding, but it's to mitigate the negative impacts of flooding from here and all the way north to all the way south to Marietta. So we are unique in our construct. We are 8,000 square miles is the shape of our organization.
It's a lot of square miles. But water's going to do what water wants to do. Yeah. That's why you mitigate versus try to control.
So we've got our series of dams that were built in the 1930s, and their primary mission, at one time, it was the largest flood control network in the world. Only be eclipsed by the Tennessee Valley Authority, which was designed and constructed by the engineer that built us. And, you know, our primary mission is holding water when we need to hold water, and flooding areas that can be flooded so that other areas downstream are not. And that's a joint mission between us and the federal government and the Army, who owns the dams now after a presidential decree in 1939. And
so then the Army Corps
owns the dams, and then the Conservancy owns everything else behind them. And so it's a forced partnership that actually works really well.
I say, yeah, you guys got to, you're forced into friendship there.
Yep. The Huntington District of the Army Corps of Engineers is our partner, and we get along great.
That's fantastic. Well, we're going to learn more about what you guys do in the Conservancy District. That is Craig Butler, the Executive Director for the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. Welcome back to Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with some fine folks from the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. I am with the Executive Director, Craig Butler, who was talking about flooding really at the end of our last segment and how you guys are there to mitigate, not control. So let's kind of go a little bit deeper into flooding and the flooding assessment that you mentioned and how that affects folks.
Sure. So our dams are like 15 reservoirs. They were built in 6 years, which is an unbelievable time period. So 1933 to 1939. At what we call summer pool, we'll hold about 65 billion gallons of water collectively. And that's the primary advantage that we have, is holding water so that we can not see devastating flooding. You know, the assessment, what happened is the federal government helped us pay for the construction of the dams. So we did not have an assessment to the community to help pay for or maintain those dams. Shortly after Hurricane Katrina, the federal government said we need to look at all of the dams in the country. And they did ours as well, and came back. And here's a government term. We are a federal non-cost share partner, which means we have to help pay for the upkeep of them, even though we don't own them, for about 25%. The Army believed it was going to be $100 million to fix the dams. And we can talk about how we fund ourselves, but we had no money.
Right.
And so We have, curiously enough, a statutory authority to issue an assessment, which is it's called an ad valorem or a value-added assessment on your property tax bill. And so up through the early 2000s, we went through a process to set up that assessment. And the original cost was $12 on a parcel of property. Very controversial. A lot of angst locally as well as in the General Assembly. But nonetheless, they got it done. And so subsequently, then we've been able to lower that to what it's called the state statutory minimum of $2. And it's largely based on the funding that we now receive through our oil and gas program. So what that does, this money is not for recreational purposes, but it is specifically managed in a very rigid account to maintain the dams at the highest level of efficiency and safety throughout the district.
Because they're important that keeping the flooding from happening like in 1913 again.
Yeah, and you can look at even modern day. So this year we had a really wet spring in April. And there was no place to move water out of like Atwood and Leesville Lake over in the eastern part of the district. So we got within a half a foot of holding the most water ever at Atwood and Leesville Lake.
Oh, wow.
And we have a lot of people that live on the lakes and recreate on the lakes. And sometimes they forget that's our primary mission. And we're a little angry with us. But it all worked out. And we were able to finally release water with the Army. But that is our primary mission, is to maintain flood mitigation, but also maintain the safety of the dams. They're all earthen dams, except one, and it's in Dover on Route 800, and it's the only concrete dam that we have. And it's a flow-over dam, so water can flow over it. It's never happened, but we got close in 2005, which was our flood of record. And so there's just a long history of really strong, sound management of floodwater in the district so that we don't recreate 1913.
And it's so hard to really predict what's going to happen from year to year when it comes to rain, because water's going to do what water wants to do.
Correct. It's always weather for us is a double-edged sword. So on our recreation mission too, and we can talk more about that. You know, we have 5 million visitors that come in and camp and recreate. If it's cold, if it's rainy, they stay home. So we like it to be, nice and sunny and warm and hot. They can get out on the water and have all kinds of fun, not think about flooding for a little while, and just have a good time.
But at the same time, you do need the rain to have the water for them to recreate on.
That's right.
So
yep.
It's a nice little toss-up on keeping the balance.
Yep. We'd like to think that we get it right almost all the time, but not always.
And you guys do, you've mentioned some of the areas where you have things. You guys do help with some of the flooding when it comes to Millersburg and the Kilbuck Creek.
Yep. And so we're really vast. So we've got, if over in Richland-Ashland County, we have Pleasant Hill and Charles Mill Lakes, and they maintain that flooding over in that part of the watershed. And then down I-77 in the corridor, it's all of the other reservoirs that we have from Atwood, Tappan, Leesville, Clendenning, Piedmont, Seneca. Those are our Interstate 77 ones. But we also work with communities like locally here in Millersburg on managing and trying to maintain flood mitigation in the Kilbuck Creek.
The best thing to mitigate with flooding was to move the fairgrounds on higher ground.
That sometimes is the only way to do it. We have some grant programs to help remove debris from streams so you can get water to flow more efficiently and help cut down on flooding. I know that the Kilbuck has seen some of those funds come in, and we've been able to help mitigate some of those impacts too.
So that's kind of where our local term comes in. But when you talk about the recreating and everything, people from Holmes County go and they utilize all of these places. And I'm sure 0.5% know that you guys are the ones who are running it. It's a nice little...
It's interesting. So, and Adria can talk about this too. So we are often in the parks just talking to people and making sure they have a good time if they have any questions or concerns. We often get the question about, is this a state park or is this a federal park? And we try to then explain a little bit, to the extent that they care. We just want them to have fun, to what's the conservancy, why we're here, what we're doing. And, we have, like we said, about 5 million visitors come. I would say some know a lot about us, most know a little, and some don't know anything, and that's okay.
They just want to recreate.
They just want to have fun.
Well, we've got more to learn, and we'll speak more with Craig Butler, the executive director for the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. We'll also speak with the Director of Marketing and Communications, Adria Bergeron, here on Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. We are back here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with the folks from the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. I've got Craig Butler, the Executive Director, and Adria Bergeron, the Director of Marketing and Communications. And in our last segment, Craig had mentioned about the recreation part. We've actually kind of mentioned it in both. And you're kind of the big knowledge on when it comes mm-hmm. to the recreation part and mm-hmm. the programs that you guys have there.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the things folks can expect when going to one of your locations?
Well, largely from Memorial Day to Labor Day and then beyond, we have a lot of programs that appeal to families and people who are coming out to the lake. So that's going to vary from guided hikes to guided kayak tours. One of our most popular kayak tours is our Moonlight Kayak Tour.
Ooh.
So we do schedule those around the full moon, and you're out at from 10 p.m. to midnight. We give you a kayak and a light and a guide, and you get to see the lake at a very different time of day, get a lot of great natural wildlife out there that you might not normally see. But we also have day camps for kids. One of the big highlights this summer will be fireworks, of course. We have a fireworks show at Charles Mill on August 1st, and that one is going to be a grand reopening of the campground and a playground that we just built and opened June 18th, so brand new this season. The playground, if you have kids and you're in this area, let me tell you, it's worth the drive to go to Charles Mill. It's huge.
It's not that far.
It's not that far, but big slides. There's a sandy swimming beach. So pack the cooler, pack up the kids, come for the day, and you'll really enjoy that new playground, I'm sure. But another highlight at Pleasant Hill, we have a Christmas in July celebration, also with fireworks. So
that's how you do Christmas.
That's right. So that's coming up later in July as well. But every weekend we have activities and events going on at all of our lakes and parks. And the best way to check out the calendar events is to go to our website. So if you visit mwcd.org, you can find out our list of events and programs. You can also check out where our trails are. You can do everything from run a campsite to run a cabin or a boat. If you're someone who's interested in renting a camper, we do have that opportunity for you to experience as well. So if you kind of would like to dip your toes in but don't want to make the investment, we have some campers available at Charles Mill, Atwood, and Tappan Lakes that you can come out and run a camper and experience it that way too.
Give it a little shot and see
that's right.
how you like having to you know, pull out. And at least you don't have to worry about backing it up. You guys
right.
probably have it parked.
It's parked and ready for you to go. Yep, with all the
you
things you
the
need.
Hard part.
Absolutely right. So we also have some markets in the park with food trucks and vendors. We have just a wide variety of things for you to experience. And, you know, some people come to the parks and they really want to be entertained and they want to do the activities and the programs with the kids. And some people want to come and they just want to be left alone and they want to experience nature and kind of have some peace and quiet and unwind. And I really think that depending on what your interest is, we have everything that you would like. So if you want to come and bring the kids and you want to find that activity for you, we have plenty of that available as well.
Now, do you try to keep events and things similar amongst all of your parks, or do you kind of leave it up to each one to decide what they want to do there?
So each lake, to an extent, has its own personality, and some of that is guided by the horsepower limit. So our horsepower limits range on each lake anywhere from 10 all the way up to unlimited. For example, Charles Mill is 10, Pleasant Hill is unlimited. So they're 15 minutes apart from each other, but two very different personalities. We also have Clendenning and Piedmont and Leesville lakes, which are also 10 horsepower limits. Those three lakes are kind of that demographic where people just want to come and be left alone to an extent, but we still offer programs at all of those locations. So they vary from things for small children all the way up to we do like a ladies paint night or an adult craft. We have a splash pad that we just opened at Seneca, and we do a family splash, and we just started last year because of demand doing an adult splash. So we really offer programs for people of all ages, and so you can find something that you're interested in at any one of our parks.
So there's a lot to choose from, and they can find everywhere from your guys' website.
Correct. Yep. If you check out our website, you can find all the events and activities there. So lots of things to keep you busy all summer long.
can just do a tour of Muskingum Watershed
That's
District.
Right. Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, the other thing to check out that is probably almost one of our most popular things is what happens after Labor Day, and that's for Halloween. So as we start to get into the fall, I will say that's probably one of my favorite times to go out and camp. The evenings generally tend to be a little bit cooler. You can cozy up around the campfire, and we have trick-or-treat. We have all kinds of hay rides and fun fall activities that really cater to, again, kind of people of all ages. Some of our trails, we have little spooky trails. I don't think anything's too terrifying, but we have some fun things that you can come check out. And those are continuing to gain in popularity, so much so that we're adding a second trick-or-treat at some locations. Because let me tell you what, if you have kids and you want to take them out and go trick-or-treating, you can get a loot and not have to go very far. Yeah,
because you're not crossing the streets. You're in a secure location.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. That's when the leaves start to change and everything just kind of has that crisp feel to it. So yeah, it's a great experience and definitely something to check out.
And campers give good candy.
I think the kids make out pretty well.
And is there anything else to share about the recreation and things that people can look forward to at any of your locations, or did we kind of cover all of it?
I would say we covered most, but I just to add to that, you know, if you are interested in hiking, hunting, you know, boating, fishing, all of those things, we have those opportunities available for you. Birding is another thing that's becoming pretty popular. If you are interested,
huge.
Yeah, yes. Pleasant Hill is a great location for that. It's in the migratory bird path.
I didn't know you guys had hunting.
Yes, we have public hunting lands available. And we also, another thing that people are unfamiliar with is that the campgrounds are actually open year round.
I was going to ask
You can come out and you can camp in the winter. And we do have some people that experience that. It's an experience. We also have people that like to go ice fishing on our lakes. I will say proceed with caution when you do that, but it's, you know, something year round that you can find that you enjoy to do. If you are interested in coming out year round, we do have cabins available. Pleasant Hill, we just built brand new cabins there. They have fireplaces and hot tubs. Ooh. So you are not roughing it at all, and all the comforts of home. But we have cabins at all of our locations, and we're getting ready to build some treehouse cabins at Atwood.
Nice. Very popular.
Very popular. They are going to be, you know, give you a bird's eye view of the lake. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait to share more information about when those are going to be opening. But our first venture into the treehouse cabins are going to be at Atwood Lake and coming in 2027.
So they're going to be just up high, or are they going to actually be in a tree?
They're going to be up high. So yes, but with great views.
All right. Well, thank that you guys have so much to offer between all the different parks that somebody can find something to do to enjoy nature and utilize what you guys are helping to preserve.
Absolutely. We hope you come out and visit us and see what we're talking about.
And we're going to talk more about the other things that the Conservancy District does and how they're funded as we continue here on Focus Fridays. I am with Craig Butler, the Executive Director, and Adria Bergeron, the Director of Marketing and Communications. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are stepping back in here with Craig Butler, the Executive Director of the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District, and Adria Bergeron, the Director of Marketing and Communications. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays. And we were just talking about recreation and being able to visit the different lakes and areas and things. But you can also live there.
You can. Yes.
I mean, who wouldn't want to live on the lake?
I think everybody wants to live on the lake. And so we have a unique program that was started probably 50 years ago or more, that we started allowing people to lease a piece of our ground on or near the lakefront and then build their home on that. So we would own the property and they would own their house. And so we have about 1,200 of those across the district. We haven't added any in 50 years, but we're just about ready to do so at Atwood. And it's just a unique program. So you can lease the ground from us, build your house. And it's been become a really changed over time. They were likely mostly just fishing cabins. Nobody stayed full time, but now about 30% of our cottage site leaseholders, as we call them, live there full time permanently on the lake. And if you want to buy one, you have to buy somebody else's house and tear it down or renovate it at this point. And so we see them changing hands now for several hundred thousand dollars, including one at Atwood that just sold for $1.6 million.
Oh, my.
Yes. And so they're becoming quite sophisticated and large in size. And it's really a great program. We're about ready to open up 18 new lots at Atwood called Windward Shores. And to make sure that it's transparent and fair of all the people that want to have a chance, we're going to hold an auction. The highest bidder gets to pick the first site, and then the second highest bidder gets to pick their second site until we get all 18 of them leased and under construction in 2027.
And that's one of those things, the funds for that go towards a good thing.
Yeah, the funds for that are help sustain the program. So we provide a lot of amenities. It's not a gated community, and we're transparent really about that. But we plow the snow, take care of all the drainage, manage the trees, and lots of other maintenance type activities so that they're not having to maintain the roads, etc. So we'll pave the roads and take care of them. And all they have to do is come and enjoy the lake.
So it's similar to condo living, but with the perks of being on the lake.
That's true. We're actually even thinking, you know, the next opportunity we have, we may build some bungalow style condominiums that people can have even less upkeep, because they tell us they want that. So many of them are getting older, they're second homes, and they say, we'd love to stay. We need to be closer to emergency services, number one, and two, we don't want to have to mow the grass, and we don't want to have the upkeep, and we don't want the maintenance. So we're doing some market research to see if we can actually accommodate that.
Well, this generation is a huge generation that's just getting ready to retire, the soon-to-be retiring generation. So you've got a lot a lot preparing for that, and maybe some ears perking we mention it.
That's right. Yeah. Well, stay tuned on that. We'll come back and talk about that next year when we get our feet underneath us and see how this first auction goes.
Definitely. So they'll be able to find that information on your website. Mm-hmm. Do you have dates planned for the auction, or is that still...
Yeah, we just did an open house last week, and so the auction's scheduled for July 11th. At in person at the Atwood Yacht Club, but you can also bid remotely, and it's through Kaufman Auctions, and it is on the homepage at mwcd.org.
And you said you had an open house. Are people still able to come out and check things out and look mm-hmm. at the lots and things?
Yeah, we're going to hold a day, so they're actively under construction at the site, but we're going to hold the day, I think it's July 1st, where we open up the site, where the construction will stop, people will be able to come down. We'll have the lots marked. People can get a good sense of what the view shed will be. It'll have cluster docks. It'll have beach. It'll have golf cart trails throughout the property and some environmental design characteristics that are just new for us, too.
That's exciting.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
It's always good to have new and exciting projects coming forth that folks are going to be able to utilize and enjoy, but still keep that basis of the conservancy and the protecting mm-hmm. the environment that you guys are based on.
It's a balance. We think we get it right.
You said not all of the lakes have houses, so they can mm-hmm. find all of that information. Do people, if they sell it, if they're selling their property that they have, do they go through you to do that, or are they on their own to do that?
No, it's a private transaction, so the leases are transferable. A lot of times they get put into a family trust, you know, because they want to pass them from generation to generation to generation. But if they are sold, it's just through a private realtor or private transaction, person to person. We do have an orientation program that we have when people first become a cottage site lessee, we bring them in. We have some rules and regulations about, you know, colors and setbacks and where you put your shed and how you can store your boat and all of that stuff. It's not too onerous, but we have people come in and just kind of learn the ropes so we don't have any problems.
Well, because you're there to protect nature and mm-hmm. kind of make that blend between where we can be and where the nature can be mm-hmm. and everybody's kind of happy.
Kind of.
But that we're really creating people's reality here of being able to retire on the lake.
It's fantastic. Yeah, so the all the lakes are different. If you have children, you're not supposed to have a favorite, so I'm not supposed to have a favorite lake. But I say I can because I only have one daughter, so I can have a favorite lake. And so if you want fast activity and you want a boat and you want to ski, you can do that. You can drive less than an hour away, and I would swear that I blindfold you, drop you on the shore, and give you $1 million to pick what state you're in. You could not do it. You'd say you're in Minnesota or Maine or Vermont, New Hampshire, someplace that is just more idyllic than you would think Ohio could be.
But anybody who's traveled knows that Ohio has some idyllic land. We're very special here.
Yeah, but you got to look for it. And we have some of the best.
And you get to travel all of it all the time.
I do. Sometimes when the day gets bad, I go do a lake inspection, i.e. I go get on my boat.
Well, you've got to check. You got to make sure the water levels are good.
Water quality. Yeah, got to check the water quality. Got to get on the boat.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We have more to learn about how all of this comes together with the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. I'm with Craig Butler, the Executive Director, and Adria Bergeron, the Director of Marketing and Communications. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are coming in to learn some more about the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. I have Craig Butler, the Executive Director, and Adria Bergeron, the Director of Marketing and Communications, joining with me today. And I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We've talked a lot about what you guys have to offer, and there's a lot of neat opportunities with all of the properties and the square footage, the square miles that you guys have. Mm-hmm. But you got to pay for it somehow. And you guys have found a unique compromise to be able to do that and fund everything mm-hmm. and keep things going. And that's with gas and oil.
That's true. You know, our budget is about $25 million to operate everything that we need to operate. Our main source of revenue there is recreation, but we also have forestry, and we do lease some ground for the cottage site program we just talked about. We also have farm leases and other sources. But our main source of revenue at this point is our oil and gas program, and we handle that money uniquely. So it does not help run the organization, but it funds all of the work that we do in the watershed. And so, you know, we do $40 to $60 million of construction work throughout the district. And we talked to Adria, talked some about some of those improvements. That is all oil and gas funded. And the decision really was, you know, the Conservancy used to be very poor. I mean, very, very poor.
You said you had no money when they were
not,
like...
we're not funded. We're created by state statute, but we're not a state agency. We're not funded by the state government. And so, in fact, the General Assembly has told Conservancy districts to figure it out on your own. So
that's
nice. So oil and gas, you know, became prominent. You know, this horizontal drilling programs in the early 2010 range. Our board of directors of five struggled with this idea. As a conservancy, should we lease our ground? And I was not the director at the time, but was working a little bit with the then executive director, John Hoopengardner. And the reality was, if they did not actively manage their lands and lease their lands for oil and gas under a lease structure that they were comfortable with, it would happen to them anyway, and they would lose control. It's just the way the state law is set up. So they ultimately decided to lease some ground starting in 2014. And now we have an active oil and gas program. We participate or have wells that are on or under our properties, about 160 of them so far.
Oh, wow.
And we've got quite a bit left to go if we choose to do it. But what I would say is we have a lease that is like no other. It's called the gold standard lease in the industry. And I say it's rigorous but not onerous on environmental provisions. And what we've been able to do in the last 15 years is not only generate a lot of revenue and do a lot of things, but to show both likers and dislikers of oil and gas that you can do it the right way. You can have environmental protection. You can run a conservancy. You can also generate revenue. The statistic I'll leave you with on that is, so we asked our master plan program, the first phase, and we're in the third phase now, but the first phase was $195 million of construction. We asked the University of Cleveland to take a sense of what's the impact in our region, and it was $1 billion.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, we're fast approaching by 2030 to eclipse about $350 million of investment. So we'll see that number go to 2 million or even more, and that's just in the 18 counties that are part of the Conservancy. So we see that money get invested again and again and again. All the while, we've been able to prove that you can do it with an environmental protection mindset and be able to benefit the communities, not just us and not just the oil and gas industry, but we have a lot of grant programs where we offer money back to communities as well. So it's been very successful, very difficult, and something that's taken us a long time to get right, but we've gotten it right.
And now with you in the executive director position, you've been on that environmental protection side, mm-hmm. and so you know and understand what's going on, what they've got, and they can't get anything past you on the new stuff.
I'm pretty good at it. So, yes, yeah, we have a couple of gentlemen that work with us that run our oil and gas program that are from the industry, so they know the tricks and secrets that I don't even know. We have 5 drilling partners we work with. They're all, you know, large national or international companies. We have very good relations with them. We turn some away just because they don't have the same value structure that we do. And so we're very, very picky about who we actually work with.
Because your ultimate goal is to conserve nature, mm-hmm. to preserve it. And so they need to be making sure not to be disturbing and destroying and all of that.
100%. Yeah. Our number one focus is maintaining the best water quality that in the state, which we believe we have. And you can't do that if you're going to have problems with oil and gas. So we're really specific on who we work with, how those leases are structured, and then ultimately how they actually implement the program on our property.
And you guys are proof that it can happen.
We are.
There's a lot of controversy over using oil and gas in the public lands.
It still is. You know, the idea of leasing our ground is public, but it's really our public ground. And leasing state property like Salt Fork was just finally in the news here recently. There's some other large pieces that are potentially getting nominated for lease that will benefit us too. The state has adopted our lease as this gold standard lease, and they use it. They've added a few more provisions to it, but there's no denying that that lease that we did and used and were successful with is now the basis for the state of Ohio.
And it's good that you can use that money you make to put back into things and help keep everything running and keep things mm-hmm. going. And it's not just money in the bank for you guys. You are, like you said, you're reinvesting and using it for good. So a lot of good is coming out of it.
That's probably, you know, one of the most important things that we have is how do we reinvest those dollars so the communities across the 8,000 square miles, everybody benefits from that.
And I think you guys have been doing a pretty good job listening to everything mm-hmm. that you offer to folks in all your different programs. And so we've got one last segment to talk about more on the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. It is Craig Butler, the Executive Director. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. One last time here with Craig Butler, the Executive Director of the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District, and Adria Bergeron, the Director of Marketing and Communications. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And it's right in your name, Conservancy. It's all about conserving mm-hmm. when it comes to the watershed.
Yeah, so we've talked about flood mitigation as our primary. We talked about recreation as the second leg on our stool. Conservation is squarely the third leg on that stool. Our original conservation mission was way back when we first started. So closer to home here at Malabar Farms, and Louis Bromfeld, he was a compatriot and a very good friend of our founder, Bryce Browning. And they worried a lot about soil health and soil health improvement. And so we figured out that the soil was so poor that if we were going to plant trees, we could only plant these white pine trees. So we planted 11 million white pine trees around our lakes and reservoirs, and largely to hold the soil and improve it. And so our original conservation mission was there. We've had fledgling programs throughout when we didn't have any money, but now that we have funding, we have a conservation director that joined us recently from the Nature Conservancy. And we do everything like close to home here in Holmes County, work with soil and water conservation districts and farmers to do cover crops, hold soil where it is to keep it out of the reservoir. We do stream assessments to see if they can then qualify for state or federal money for additional cleanup work. We have grant programs for partners in watershed management for conservation, stream water, and stream improvements. We work with the U.S. Geologic Survey to put stream gauges throughout the district for several hundred thousand dollars of investment, as well as monitoring water quality. And most recently, we have our newsletter, which is probably also on our website. We talk about our water quality buoy program. We're putting really sophisticated remote sensing water quality buoys on the lake that are measuring any number of things from temperature, which the fishermen really love, all the way down to the bottom so they can figure out where to go find the fish, to different chemical parameters to see if where there ever was a problem, where was it coming from and how do we fix it. And so we've got these water buoys. We're putting them in all of the lakes, and they're made in Ohio.
Nice.
From an Ohio company. And so we continue to look for ways to build our conservation program, be a complementary regional partner to the other agencies like Department of Natural Resources, EPA, Department of Agriculture. And we'd love to see that program grow just because it ultimately benefits us at the end, making sure that the water quality stays the best that it can be and protect the public when they come and enjoy the water, swim on the beach, be out on the boat.
You want it to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the fish are just loving the fact that you're giving away their secrets.
I would say, so you can't have a favorite lake, but I would say Leesville might be my favorite one because that's where the giant muskie are. The 50-inch muskies are in Leesville.
Wow.
And fun fact is when the state takes eggs to put in the fish hatchery to grow muskie, they all come out of Leesville Lake.
Oh, mm-hmm. That is a fun fact.
Yep.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that you work with all of these agencies together because you can't just go out and if you clear one part of a river or a lake, that's going to affect so much more than that one little part. I dealt mm-hmm. with that in different times.
For sure. Where
if you clean out this part, now it's going to flood down here.
That's right.
Because the water can go. So you have to have these good relationships.
We have great working relationships. We also started something brand new this year. It's called a research collaborative. So we're working with universities. So we work with Ohio State University and the Sea Grant program, Ohio University, and several others to identify research areas. And we work with our partners, the Foundation for Appalachian Ohio, which we donated money to. And so we're now identifying what are the threats in the watershed that we need to go do research on so we can develop strategies to mitigate that. And so it's another great new program that we started just a couple of years ago. It's modeled after the program I helped start at the state for fixing Lake Erie. And it's an innovative research program that we're going to help fund either researchers and our students, help us identify where our emerging threats need to be so we can stay in front of them.
Because while you may have everything under control right now, the water keeps moving and keeps doing things and it's underground and you don't know what it's doing until you research.
Yes, exactly. And so it helps us just make sure that what we are doing in what is happening in the watershed we know about. And if there are problems, we can identify them early and identify strategies to fix it.
And as we're getting ready to wrap up here, have we missed anything important that folks need to know about what you guys do or what the programs or anything that we didn't touch on?
Probably, but I don't know what it would be at this point. Yeah, we're so diverse. That's part of the blessing and somewhat the difficulty of my job and others too. We do a lot.
Every day is different.
Every day is different. Yeah.
I think that has been a common thread with everybody that I've interviewed is when you ask, so is your day, do you have a typical day or is it change every day? And pretty much everybody has said it changes every day.
Thankfully. Thankfully. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No sitting in an office all the time.
I don't even have a chair.
Well, it's been great chatting with you and learning about what the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District does. I hope that we've helped to really enlighten some folks on what is out there and what it is that you guys do.
Thank you, Melissa. I had a great time.
Thank you for having us.
That was Craig Butler, the executive director, and Adria Bergeron, the director of marketing and communications for the Muskingum Watershed Conservancy District. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Make sure to tune in each week in the 9 a.m. hour here on WKLM for Focus Fridays. If you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, you can go to the website WKLMFM.com and click on the Focus Friday banner and then on the episode that you missed. In the next episode, we begin our celebration of our year anniversary for Focus Fridays with a special double week episode with Holmes County Commissioner Dave Hall. It's all here on your hometown Radio 95.3 WKLM.